Welcome back. This is the seventh shiur, the seventh class in Sefer HaChinuch, in the 613 mitzvot and their meanings in our lives. You'll find the materials for this class located at http://www.teachittome.com. If you turn to the section, to the class on Sefer HaChinuch, the class materials for class 7 are what we are going to be doing this evening. So let's begin. The 12th mitzvah in the Sefer HaChinuch, Shelo le'echol mikol dvar sheyesh bo chametz, is that we shall not eat from anything which contains within it any chametz, any leavening. So let's go ahead and go into the details of this. Shelo le'echol medvarim sheyesh behem chametz, nothing that has a living. Af al-pi she'en ikar dvar chametz. That means to say that it contains something which has been leavened, but it itself, it is not an actual leavened product. Meaning to say it could be a mixture. It could go in koteh habavli. For example, in the case of the koteh habavli, was actually sort of like a dip. They would go ahead and they would take milk, and the milk would be curdled along with pieces of bread, and these pieces of bread with the milk together would form sort of a pudding. So this pudding would be used as a dip. We can also find some of those things. So now what happens is this pudding does not have any obvious chametz in it, meaning that you cannot see a piece of bread floating around in it or anything else along that has been blended in to the point where there is a substance of chametz blended into a substance which is not chametz, in this case the milk product. So this specific isur is dealing with that sort of situation. Shneimar kol mahmeset lo tochelu. Anything which is of a leavened nature, anything which again has in it any element of being leavened, that is something which thou shalt not eat. The rabbis of blessed memory have explained this, and they've explained that what we've written here regarding this idea, meaning what was written here in the Sefer HaChinuch, regarding this idea, again, that any sort of mixtures and any content at all, that is what we're talking about here. And there are two specific opinions which we're going to bring now, meaning the dot of the Rambam, the opinion of the Rambam and the Ramban, as to the specifics of this. V'dat ha-Rambam zal, she'im yesh b'ma'achalim elu, k'zayit chametz, b'gdeach de'pras, asur me'atorah b'lav. So the Rambam's position is like this. If you have a mixture type situation, and in this mixture, there's contained the amount of an olive of chametz, the amount of an olive of this leavened product. And from that leavened product, meaning mixed into whatever's in front of you, you consume enough of this combination so that within the combination is the amount of chametz, which is the equivalent to a kazayit. A kazayit is an olive. The olives, though, that they're talking about were the olives of Eretz Yisrael in those times, which are about the size of an egg of our time. So if you ate enough food, and that food together is eaten in the amount of time that it would take in other words, that is the amount of time that it would take for achila pras. So, which is the amount of time that it would take to eat So it's the amount of time that it would take in order for a person to eat half a loaf. The half a loaf works out according to the Rambam, to be three eggs, and according to Rashi, it works out to be four eggs. So in other words, meaning to say that you would go ahead, and how long would it take for a person to consume that much food? That's the amount of time that a person would have to eat whatever he's eating, and within the content of that eating, there would be contained within it this kazayit, again, this olive's measure worth of the chametz. Asur min haTorah b'lav, if he did this, then he has violated a negative commandment of the Torah. Klomar l'malkot, that means to say that he would then receive malkot, he would receive lashes from the Torah. As we understand, this is 39, 40 minus 1. Avalo l'charet mikimish nitarev barov. So, since there is a majority situation, meaning the majority of the content of the food is not chametz, and only a minority of this food, for example, in the case of the pudding, or even modern-day pudding, where they're using, you're using a starch, which is of a wheat base, that mixture together, that congealed mixture contains less than a majority of chametz, I mean, the majority is not chametz, and therefore the entire thing together, it would not get the punishment that we see by other situations where the eating itself would cause a person to be cut off spiritually. Nevertheless, he would be violating a negative commandment, and he would receive lashes. V'im lo yeh behem kazayit chametz b'kdei achile pras, lo yeh bo malkot, el makat mardut. Now, in a situation, though, where the amount that a person would eat would not contain enough to be a Torah violation, the Rabbanim have nevertheless made this a rabbinical violation, and a person would receive lashes, but ordained by the rabbis. Now, as we talked about before, when the rabbinical lashes come in, it's completely up to the beitin, it's completely up to the court to determine the particular level of punishment, meaning the level of whippings that a person would get based on the situation and based on the attitude and so forth and so on, meaning what they felt would be enough in order to instill within that person a sense of respect for the situation and an embarrassment for what has been done. And this, of course, is all discussed by the Rambam in his Chibur HaGadol, his great work, which is the Yad Chazakah, the Mishnah Torah. Be'im ken ledato yavo halav ze dechol mahmetzet lehechash nitarev kuzayit chametz b'gdei achidei pras shiye bolav klomar malkut v'lo karet. So, therefore, according to the opinion of the Rambam, as we again summing it all up, the situation is any time a person has an amount of chametz, he has an amount of this leavening agent, one kazayit eaten within the time that it would take to eat three eggs, according to Rashi, four eggs, that entire amount, he says, then he would receive malkut and nakarit because it's a negative commandment. Now the Haramban, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, he has a different opinion. Ketav hefbech mizeh, he writes the opposite of this. In fact, he holds that this is not even one of the 613 mitzvot. Now, remember, we've prefaced this before, that when we say that something is not one of the 613 mitzvot, it does not mean to say that it is not from the Torah, or that it cannot have the same weighty bearing upon us as a Torah mitzvah, but it means to say that it is not one of the 613 pinnacles of laws by which all the other Torah laws are hanging and connected. So, therefore, of course, the question you have to ask right away then is, where then is the connection? Because the Torah does say, "Kol machmetzet lo tochelu," you should not eat from anything which is containing chametz. If that's the case, then there must be a place where this comes from. So what happens is that this comes from the general halacha, the general principle which we find in the Torah itself, meaning the 613 mitzvot that he connects it to. The one is the general halacha, the general law that one should not eat chametz and he should not eat sor, meaning that the fact that this is just a situation of a combination containing chametz is no different than eating chametz itself. So this lav comes to teach us about that which the Chachamim teach us in the Gemara. The Gemara, rather, they teach us about this. So in the Gemara itself, they teach us this idea that anything which becomes chametz on its own, meaning anything that becomes leavened on its own, meaning unless you have an item that it in itself is a leavened item, okay, fine, that's a sur. How do I know regarding anything else that has become leavened as a result of an addition? Meaning, for example, again, using the Kotech HaBavli, the example of this pudding, so again, if somebody put starch into the pudding, and therefore the pudding now becomes chametz, it has now in it this element, so in that situation, he says, there, we say regarding that, that this comes Tamal Omar, we learn from this Pasuk, Kol Machmeset, that's where we learn the Halakha, that again, that we cannot eat any combinations. So regarding the chametz, any time that chametz becomes mixed in a way that there should be a kazayit, that again, the same measurement we saw with the Rambam, there should be an egg's worth in the amount of time that it takes again to eat half a loaf, it does not require to have its own lav. So what the Ramban tells us is the fact that there's a mixture, the fact that there's a mixture of chametz, and inside of this mixture there is a egg's worth, meaning in that, in other words, and that's all eaten within a certain amount of time, it's as if the chametz, it's as if this leavening was mamish sitting there right in front of you. Meaning that the fact is the substance, if there's that much substance in that amount of food that can be stuffed into your mouth, then it's really like a person has stuffed a full-fledged piece of chametz in his mouth. And if that's the case, so therefore, according to Ramban, it's as if he really ate a whole piece of chametz. And if that's the case, he ate a whole piece of chametz, that means to say that what? That he's chayv karet, that he's chayv being spiritually cut off, which was the punishment regarding the general halakha, regarding the general rule of the person should not eat any chametz and not any se'or, any leavening or any leavening agents. And it's just like any other chametz that's visible to the eye. It's just not visible. In other words, the Ramban is saying, what's the difference if I go ahead and I have a piece of chametz and I wrap it up in something, and what's the difference if I just have it sitting out in front of me? I'm still eating the same piece of chametz. Now, in the situation though, a person would eat such a mixture, but there wasn't a kazayit, there wasn't this egg's worth of chametz inside of it, patur, it's not allowed to be eaten. Meaning, it's not allowed to be eaten, but a person would not have to bring any sort of sacrifices, meaning he will be off the hook from a direct punishment by the courts. When it comes to any chametz, any leavening that is of one of the grains, then his punishment is karet. So, and since we understood that the Ramban holds this principle that if a person would eat that much chametz within this time period, it's like he truly ate a piece of the grains. It's like he really ate these grains. In fact, it's physically, it's passed through his mouth. So therefore, if it's going to be less than this measurement, it's no longer a measurement which can be judged by the courts. Okay, Mishor Shem Mitzvah. So now we get to the Sefer Achinos explanation of this mitzvah in terms of the underpinnings of it. Mashikatavna Visor V'ulam L'chazek HaDavar B'libeinu Ichaknu HaTorah Kokach. So the Sefer Achinos explains that the same reasoning that was given in general concerning chametz also applies here. However, since the Torah has decided to bring this matter up again in a detailed form, it's in order to instill within us the sense of importance to this matter, and therefore to drive us away from it. Now, as we already explained in previous shurim, in previous classes, the idea of chametz, the idea that there should be a clearing out, a removal of the impurities. And in this case, we're talking about physical impurities, but this applies to spiritual impurities. This is the idea behind Chametz, this removal of the spiritual impurities, and the celebration of Pesach in this pure fashion. Meaning there's an idea that Chametz itself represents sin. Given that's the case, what we're seeing here is the Torah emphasizing to us on that level also the sheer importance of us not lying to ourselves. Being naki, in the words of the Ramchal. Moshe Chaim Lutzado explains in the third of the 10 levels, or that we talk about the various different things, so you go again, Zihirut, Zrizut, and Nikiut. A person must be watchful, a person must be zealous, and then he brings us to Nikiut. He brings us to the level of being clean, meaning not lying to ourselves. That means to say that there should be no Tarovet, there should be no mixture of good and bad in us. That part of being zealous about doing the right things and about holding back from doing the wrong things is making sure we're doing the right things. That means to say not rationalizing. It means taking personal responsibility for everything we do and looking into the details and ensuring carefully that that in fact which we're doing is the real path. The Ramchal tells us that there are two major means for accomplishing this. The first one is, of course, Limud Torah, is learning Torah. If a person doesn't know what's right and wrong, meaning if a person hasn't spent the time to learn and understand the halachot, to learn and understand the midot, the type of character traits that a Jew should have, how then can he make any decision about right and wrong? And the second most important tool is hidbonanut, is introspection, is looking into oneself and identifying one's own actions, one's own thoughts, one's direction, and ensuring that these in fact are on that straight and narrow path. This is a critical matter. The idea of not having a mixture is elevated in regarding the idea of Chametz to a Torah mitzvah, and so therefore also in this mashal we're saying it's the same idea. Dinei HaMitzvah, the various laws connected with the mitzvah, kigon advarim shnichlu b'yisur zeh, the various things that are included in this isur, mahen, mashimam, v'yeterpretem, all these various details, v'psachim, isfan, gmar, psachim, v'noge, b'zecharim, v'nekevod, b'chol makom, b'chol zman. This is customed to be done by men and by women in all places and in all times. When Pesach comes up, you cannot have a mixture. V'over aleh aloke, over tanai shiyeh behem k'zayit b'chliachil pras. So therefore, a person who violates this commandment would receive malkut. And the Tanai, the principle about this, is that he should, the condition is that he eats a kazayit, he eats the amount that it would take to eat, as we said in the half a loaf, which is the amount of 3 to 4 eggs, kamo shemaral, as we said. Aval ein bo karet ledata Rambam. Now, according to the Rambam, he would not be spiritually cut off. He would not receive karet. And according to Ramban, as you call, he would receive being spiritually cut off as a result of this. Because again, the idea of eating, he ate the amount, the amount passed through his mouth in a short sitting, therefore it has the same idea. Now, in the case where there is not that amount, not an olive's worth within the amount of time, again within this short period of time, ein bo chiyuv malkut, he does not receive lashings. Eladinu kedin chatishur, but this is like a situation where, for example, it says, well, you're not allowed to eat something not kosher. You can't eat a non-kosher piece of meat. Well, what about half a piece of meat? What about a quarter piece of meat? There's an idea that you come to a certain amount which is too small to be judged from the, in other words, we cannot judge from the secular courts, from the worldly courts, but from the spiritual courts, it doesn't mean to say that a person is free from having done a sin, but it does mean that there is no lashes in this. Ein bo chiyuv Malkut. In this particular situation, does not receive any lashings. In other words, it's just like a situation where in the Torah itself, a person would again he would receive only something spiritual, meaning from the Torah. They couldn't. In other words, there's nothing physical being done. And this explains both of them. Okay, going on to the next mitzvah. Shlona achil mina Pesach liYisrael mushuman. That we cannot feed from the Pesach offering to someone who is an apostate, someone who has abandoned the core concepts of Judaism, the core concepts of the Torah, and he has determined that he is going to be an idol worshiper. He's going to be a person who believes himself to be an element distinct from God and God's Torah, to be a being which is not subjugated to the Creator's will. A person who has abandoned his connection to Judaism on that level, where he has consciously set aside God and has embraced another God, be it that nature is God, be it that he is God, be it that some other being is God, be it that that statue is God. Such a person is not allowed to eat from the Pesach offering. Shalom na'achil min ha'pesach liYisrael mumar la'avodah zarah. Shene'emar, kol b'necha lo yuchal bo uva ha'perush alav. So it says in the Pasuk that any foreigner should not eat from it. And there is an explanation given to this, which has been passed down, that says like this: Ben Yisrael shenit karu ma'asav la'aviv shoshamayim. That a Jew who has abandoned through his deeds, he has alienated his Father in heaven, that this is the person who is considered to be Ben Nechar, who is considered to be a foreign being. This is a person who has taken himself out from the flow of Kedusha, of holiness, in its direct fashion, and has attached himself to the reflection of what is holy, physicality. Imagine it like this for a moment. If a person wanted to accomplish something, he had a desire to make a cake. So there are things that the cake baker is going to procure which are directly related to the finished product that he's looking to accomplish. Eggs, flour, water, oil, cinnamon, sugar, whatever it is, he's going to, all the various ingredients that he's going to be putting into this cake. All of those ingredients . These are directly connected to the cake itself, to the end product that's desired. The kitchen counter that exists, where you're going to go and put the pan on, where you're going to be doing, you're going to put the mixing bowl, the gloves that a person might be using in order to be able to pick up the hot cake when it's cooked, the various other external factors to the creation of this cake, which are not directly part of the cake itself, they're only in this idea a reflection of what is the actual desired outcome. What's desired is a cake. It just happens to be that there's a lot of things that extend beyond this. All those external things that are there, they exist for a purpose, but they're not directly part of the divine intention. The closer a person attaches to God, the closer he is to the ingredients in the cake, the closer he is to the exact purpose of what it is that he wants to accomplish. God wanted that his midot, that his rachum, that his chanun, that he's kind, that he's compassionate. God wanted his Torah, his ratzon, his will to be expressed in the universe through the actions of the Jew and his fulfilling of the Torah, that this would be a light unto the nation, that everything exists for that single purpose, which is the Torah. Everything that is there for that purpose. The whole world, everything that's in it. So, the question is like this. Who is the Pesach offering for? The Pesach offering is for the one that's going to be in the cake. It's the one who has decided to take upon himself and to fulfill the mission which God has set out for him. To be part of the direct divine plan. And not to become a ben nechar, not to become a foreigner, meaning an outside matter. Mishar shei mitzvah zo. So the various underpinnings of this mitzvah, kamosh katuv b'shchitato lizkor nisei Mitzrayim, of course, is to remember the miracles of Egypt, as mentioned by the shechting, as mentioned by the sacrifice. Therefore, it only makes sense and perfect understanding that a person who has abandoned this mission, who has intentionally pushed himself out of the whole perspective, meaning that he has embraced that there's some other force in the universe other than God making decisions, be it himself, be it an idol, etc., as we've already described, it doesn't make any sense, because this, meaning the eating of the Pesach, the offering on Passover that was given and our eating of it, is to show, is to be a sign for how that at that time that we were taken into the wings of the Shekhinah, we were taken into the wings of God's presence, and that we were entered into the covenant of the Torah and its beliefs and its truth. Does it make sense then that a person that believes that he runs the universe, that something else runs the universe, that God, his providence, his Ashkacha, his Torah, his Ratzon, his will, his teachings, that these don't apply to him? Is it right then that this external existence, external from the direct will of God, is it right then that that person then should partake of this? As enroish na'achiyu imenu lemishu hefech mezeh, shiyatza minikla v'chafar be'munah. So such a person, who's the opposite of the one that has taken the mission and run with it, is it right then? V'akiyotu z'ne'emar b'gmara l'famim svaruhu klomar ve'en tzirich raya acher. Meaning that this idea, this concept in itself is so clear, there's really nothing more to discuss about it. I mean, it's bottom line. Here's the symbol. Our shechting, our taking and slaughtering the God of Egypt, subjugating all the physical universe, putting it aside. And entering into a covenant with God that the Pesach is all about. The formation of the Jewish people and their direct relationship to the Creator. So all the time that we have the sacrifices, may God speedily bring them back in our days. It applies to men and women. Now, if a person was to allow from his Pesach offering to be fed to somebody like this, he would violate a negative commandment. And since though there is no action, meaning the apostate is the one who's actually going to be eating, you're not actually doing any physical action, in that particular situation, then there's no makut, there isn't going to be any possible punishment from the courts. That of course though does not leave things open from the heavens, meaning not leaves it open for there to be the means for dealing with this. The 14th halacha, the 14th of the 613 mitzvot, shelo na'achil min ha-pesach leger v'toshav. That the Pesach offering should not be given to a partial convert or to a person who is residing with a peace treaty in Eretz Yisrael. Shene'emar toshav v'sachir lo yuchal bo. A resident and a hired servant is not allowed to eat from it. Vatoshav, so what is meant by the resident? Hu adam min ha'umot shekibel alav shelo la'avod avod zarah v'ochal nevelot. This is a person who, from the nations, that has accepted upon themselves not to serve idols and not to eat from nevela, not to eat from animals which have died in their own, not to eat from improper animals and so forth and so on. V'zachir. Now, what does it mean though by zachir? Hu ger shamal v'lo taval. This means to say this is a person who has gone through the part of the conversion, meaning he has been circumcised, but he has not yet gone to the mikveh. He has not yet done the dip. Meaning it's a person who is accepted to be acceptable among the Jewish people, even on a physical level, but has nevertheless not made the commitments that are necessary, meaning the commitment of going to the mikveh, going and dipping in the water, and accepting upon himself the Torah, na'aseh v'nishma, I will do and I will listen, in the same way that the Jewish people did at Har Sinai. Meaning that the Jewish people at Har Sinai, they said to God, whatever it is you want me to do, whatever your mission is, I'm going to do it. Now, what's your mission? Meaning they were ready after the fact, after committing themselves to do it, to be ready to fulfill what God wanted. The going to the mikveh for a person who's converting is his moment to make that statement. When he goes through that process, when he turns and he says, "Na'aseh v'nishma," I am prepared and I am ready to be a new being, one that is dedicated to fulfill all that which God wants. Now tell me, what does God want? So this person has not yet made that commitment, meaning he has not yet bound himself to the Jewish people, for good or for bad. And therefore, he not yet is ready to partake of the Pesach offering. Meshorshe mitzvah zo, the underpinnings of this mitzvah, ma shekatavnu ba'acherot lizkor yitziyat Mitzrayim, is to remember, of course, the coming out of Egypt. Uba'avor shekorban te lezecha cherutenu uvu'enu bebrit ne'emana im Hashem yibarach. And since this korban is in order for us to remember the freedoms that were given to us and our coming in to the covenant, so only those people who have come into this covenant of faith completely, meaning have completely thrown in their lot with the Jewish people, only them, the Hemi Sogamon, only a complete Jew, meaning a Jew that's born mother, a Jew who has become a Jew through going through the process of conversion. Not those that have yet not come into this commitment phase and fulfilled everything. So also the idea that a person who is uncircumcised, that he should not partake, is related exactly to the same concept. Meaning that he is not complete in the totality of what it means to be a Jew. Meaning that he has, on a complete faith level, given himself over to the mission, but has also committed himself to the tribe on a physical level, prepared to bear a sign that historically has been the mark used to identify us for our slaughter. But also, as we said when we learned about this mitzvah, meaning Brit Milah itself, the very sign which for us tells us that it's in our hands to be able to do something in the physical universe. That even though we come to this world not total and complete, but a physical action in this world can bring us to spiritual completion. That's the spiritual completion that makes us roi, that makes us able and proper to be those that partake of the Pesach offering. This is customary to be the case by men and by women. Obviously, this also applies only in the time when there's the Pesach offering, God willing, soon. A person who causes other people, meaning who has allowed the situation to occur, and has allowed then, therefore, again, this partial convert or the toshav, the person who has again, he's this resident with various commitments to be have a commitment to be sort of a peace treaty with the Jewish people. Those type of people, if you allow them to eat from this Pesach, he says, you've violated a negative commandment. But there is no malkut, there is no corporal punishment, meaning there's no lashes, because of the fact that, again, there is no direct physical act, meaning it's the other person who is actually going to be consuming the food and therefore directly physically violating. With that, we finish today's shiur. And God willing, it should be that speedily in our days, we should see Mitzvah Tidkenu, we should see the righteous Mashiach, and we would be able to not only be shalom, to be whole in who we are on this level, meaning on this distant, far-off situation, this far-off place outside of Eretz Yisrael, or even in Eretz Yisrael without the Beit HaMikdash. May we be complete as an Am, as a people, with our land, with our Beit HaMikdash, and with the Shechina and its presence shining from there, and sitting together and eating the Pesach offering. Ashana Haba, the year to come in Yerushalayim.